Okay, this is our second recording on February 11th, 2016, between Bob and Ion, being recorded at 2:39 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Greetings.
I was reading this quote from the book Acid Test, page 307, and we were talking about the cycle of thalamus in other parts of the brain, and the cortex, I guess. So let me continue reading what I was reading. It says, we did the processed material, sorted for context and assessed for significance, returns to the thalamus, which then deposits it into a tuber-shaped portion of the brain just above the brainstem called the hippocampus, where it is stored as memory. You objected to the word storing. You pointed out the long-term memory and the short-term memory. Does long-term memory get categorized as storage?
Well, it's a type of storage. It's what you call the memories that are.
Short-term memory, is that a type of storage?
It is a type of storage.
But you're saying it's not the way they say it. It is
Correct. Stored
as memory.
Correct.
Could you say what the difference is from your use of storage?
One holds and the other one spins.
I didn't get that last word. Spins?
Spins, yes. It spins the information.
You said one, the inaccurate one spins, the inaccurate description.
Yes. Right.
The one they do, where it is stored as memory, means spinning.
Yes. Like to spin a yarn, spin a tale.
Don't you mean the circular movement by the word spin?
Kind of, but it's more like what you do to yarn. It's also a spin, but it's like yarn.
So it's wrapped up.
Yeah.
And then you unspool it. You spool it, unspool it.
That's right.
Now, that's what they meant, and you're saying that's not what happens.
Correct. A memory is.
Not going through the spinning action. So what was your term? You said they verb. I didn't get the versus spins. What was the other verb for what our
stores,
memory?
Stores. You were asking from storing it, and then spinning puts it into a different position as far as the... Well, it's actually a perception. It's to perceive. You have a lot of memories that aren't held or saved.
What happens to them?
They're there, but they're not of any value or use.
It says where it is stored is memory. You say no. You know they mean spinning, so you would not use the word stored. But you
Correct.
Would say. The word stored applies the way we mean it for long term and the way you're describing it. So their words are accurate, but you know they mean something else.
They mean it something else too. They just don't know.
Where it is stored is memory. You agree with that sentence. If we understand it is something that is not spinning and doing something else as long term memory and short term memory.
Yeah, that's okay.
What would be the verb for what it's doing as opposed to spinning, which is not?
Allowing or being, a form, a pluperfect tense of being. Because, see, we're saying that all those thoughts of those places, these things, memories, feeling places, oh, I touched the hot stove, it was hot. Remember that. But, see, you don't do that. You don't store it that way. You don't do it that way. You go touch the stove every single time, and it'd be hot and fresh and new to you every time. You don't gauge what the store was.
You mean human?
Or whether it's on.
Or do you mean
you.
Bob?
We mean
Me
Bob.
Particular?
Yeah.
I never would do that. I know it's going to hot. I wouldn't touch it again.
But you walk by and the stove is not on and you don't touch it either because it might be hot.
Okay, but we're not, I don't know
Same
why we're
thing.
Talking about me.
We always talk about you.
All right, but MDMA is being described here and I'm trying to find out if it's correct what the words are. And when I got to the sentence where it is stored as memory, the processed material is stored as memory, you said, nope. Now you're saying it's stored, but you have to understand their image of spinning, which is a fact, right? There is that kind of image, that kind of brain.
It's not. It's like a trip. It's like a trip.
No, yeah, it's not happening the way they mean it. And is MDMA affecting our long-term, short-term memory stories the way we mean it, the way you mean it?
Yes.
Then it says, in the case of a severely traumatic experience, the brain's ability to... What?
Those words is just exactly the point we were making, so you got it.
About me and how I'll keep touching the thing? Was it a severely traumatic experience?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. In the case of a severely traumatic experience, the brain's ability to process is overwhelmed, and a more primitive method for storing memory takes over. Is that what they're talking about, the hour thing?
Yeah.
They're calling it a more primitive method? Okay.
Yeah.
But I would not say it's more primitive.
Right. We don't. Right. We say it's heightened. We say it's heightened.
Right. They got it backwards. So they're emphasizing the wrong kind of memory in relation to ascension.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well, you'd say obviously, but
yeah. Okay.
That's another conversation.
Their description of biology is all anti-ascension, if you follow their system. The biology may be what they say it is, but it's not done for their limited purpose or understanding.
Very good.
The sensory information passes through the thalamus and is stored directly in the hippocampus without higher processing. You agree with every word in that sentence?
No, we don't, because that doesn't apply.
For little man, does it apply?
Yes, it does for little man. It's the only way they can understand it.
But for ascending people, it doesn't apply. And we
at
wouldn't
all.
We wouldn't even be concerned about this kind of description.
Well, you certainly wouldn't validate it.
And then it says, these raw memories can bolt into awareness as destructive flashbacks
and
nightmares.
Okay, hold on. Too many words. Raw memory. It's either a memory or it's not. Now you're adding a value to a storable bit of information. We take great exception to that, because your eyes see everything. It doesn't care what it sees. If it's something so traumatic that it can't take, it'll forget it. Now there you go. If you're able to decide or discern what you're going to remember and what you're going to forget, are you really controlling that memory?
Did you say if you're able to decide what you're going to remember?
Yeah, if something's too traumatic and your body knows you can't take it, so you forget it immediately, something else is doing the deciding.
And you don't agree with that?
Correct. That's the rub.
That's true for little man, but not for standing people. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, so these raw memories can bolt into awareness and destructive flashbacks or nightmares. What if they had just said these memories can bolt into awareness as destructive flashbacks? Is that accurate?
Might have been okay. We could have gone with that. But see, now you're saying that the thing decides. And if it decides, then it's not you. If it's something else that's deciding.
And most knowledge is projecting out that some inky, dark something is controlling you that you can't have a say in. That's what most outer kingdom knowledge is, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Then they say the brain senses that potential as a constant threat which engages the fear response system centered in an almond-shaped structure perched atop the hippocampus called the amygdala. More inky, darky thing controlling you, which is true for the little man. Okay.
Yeah.
The amygdala acts as a guard, imperfectly suppressing the unprocessed traumatic memory to attempt to keep it from barging into consciousness. It's not a healthy arrangement. The constant tension of having the nasty, poorly kept secret hidden in the brain's basement poisons the psyche, which flails around in pain, creating post-traumatic stress disorder, self-destructive symptoms. That's all bullshit from the ascending person. And the ascending person is one who's not going to go with the belief systems of having one life. To be ascending, you have to start allowing the belief or the assumption that you survive death. That's the crux.
No, that there is no death. You don't have to survive it if there's not any.
So they laid out all this dark problem, bad backward statement. Then they go, enter MDMA. Brain scan studies suggest that MDMA creates a negative image of post-traumatic stress syndrome, suppressing the amygdala and stimulating the prefrontal cortex, which is the planning, analyzing, conscious area of the brain. Do you agree that that's an accurate description of what MDMA does?
No, it's not quite like that. It's similar to that. But that's not complete.
Is it accurate for little man, what I read?
It would be, yes. That's the only part of it they can embrace.
Then it says, Mr. Passy theorizes that as the amygdala lets down its guard, the traumatic memories can reemerge from the hippocampus to be sent up for the processing the brain never had a chance to do. More bullshit?
Pretty much, because now all of a sudden, that center thing, that thing that you're describing the words of, decides what you get to have or process or don't process.
Right.
And there's where even for little man it doesn't work out, because now little man doesn't have a prayer. And if middle man doesn't have a prayer, then you're pretty much left to the lawyers anyway, aren't you, Bob?
Yeah. Possibly assisted by the emotional learning and fear extension properties of the hormones MDMA releases.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Memories, yeah, garbled. The memories can at last be integrated in personality in a healthy way. Not necessarily true for a little man. They're going to fuck
well,
it up
it's
anyway.
Well, filtered. It's basically, it's the filtering. It's saying, if you're so stupid that you can't work this out, that your thing will filter your mind in such a way that you might get a chance to dumb it down so that you can embrace it at some layer or level. That's why they call it a bad trip, is it not?
Right. So this book is going to show, I'm in the latter chapters of it, it's showing that MDMA really releases a lot of stuff, the bliss it creates. Is it doing that?
No.
It's temporary, right? Doesn't have any lasting effect.
No lasting effect.
But RNA drops and REMAG, our products, do. That's the difference.
They absolutely do.
So that's it. Everything that the drug companies are offering are temporary stopgaps, which usually even have backward, fucked up side effects. But even if they didn't, what they're doing, you become reliant on it, and you're addicted to it, and you require it. And in that sense, it doesn't free you from it.
It doesn't deliver you from it. It may not free you from it, but it can deliver you from it.
Now, our stuff does do that, and some people would say, but you say I got to keep buying it, anyway, eating it. And we say, well, that's because you would crave it. The cynic will say, well, you're claiming it fixes things forever, but you still want us to do it. And then you're saying, man, we'd crave it. What if I didn't crave it? Do I need to take it? What would you say
no.
to that criticism?
We'd say no. We'd say no. If you start engaging the product and you decided that it's not working for you or it makes you feel funny or wah, 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 and we're saying if you choose to want to continue it, that's your choice. But there's nothing to say that you have to or even necessarily should. You don't
yeah,
have
when
to.
You said no, you meant, yeah, they can quit it.
We meant no, that they shouldn't feel compelled to engage it, that you're saying that we yeah. have to continue to buy it. And we're just like, we didn't tell you to buy it the first time.
We do say you will crave it, and most people do.
But if yeah. you don't, then you wouldn't be having that conversation. The ones that's having that conversation, it's sort of doomed into a very bad spot anyway, because otherwise they're busy moving on to a fun thing rather than fussing about a non-fun thing.
I think I missed the first thought. You're saying that...
If someone's having that type of conversation about you said I had to do something and I had to do something else and that stuff, there's nothing good going to come of that conversation regardless of how you're handling it. You see, if they really felt that way, they wouldn't be talking about it. They'd be on doing some other fun thing rather than fussing about a product that they were told they had to buy.
One would be on to another fun thing if you... did not accept us saying you need to keep taking it.
Right. If they're going to argue that point,
if you reject it, just reject it. Yeah, we have no problem if you reject it. That's what you're saying.
No worries. That's right.
But we have noticed those that don't reject it and think they're getting benefits of it want to keep taking it. That's what we've noticed.
They absolutely. And most of the time when you do that, you do find it is of the faster joy to indeed continue.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like you said isn't, but I think you said it is
no,
it is.
And it will be. And if that's the case, then they're going to be having a different conversation than one that says, well, if I do this, do I have to do this forever, ever, ever? You don't have to do anything.
Right. I got that. Okay. So reading this text and how it's an upside down control factor of knowledge telling you you're fucking a victim of something and you've got to take an MDA.
You've got to get over it, and then your brain has to get over the part that allows you to fix it or not get it, and then you got to find a way to let it be, and then this thing has to decide if your mind can take it or not, and if it can take it, then it lets it in, and it blows your mind, and then you have to overcome it, and if it's more than you can overcome, then you have to back up again and reassess whether or not your ability or capacity to handle the traumatic trauma, however that is traumatized, has to apply into your meat sack. And if your meat sack can take it, then you survive. If not, we guess you jump off the pier very quickly or precipitously.
What I learned from this is that there's no point in reading anything about what they're doing other than our products, because it's all backwards and operating from the idea that there is death and you've got a limited time and you're fucked up and you got stressed and we might have a drug to help you. There's no point in reading any science.
The science keeps getting undone. Now, you got your Galileo moment, did you not?
I don't know. I know about him. I know he's still alive.
No, Bob, the newest thing, we told you yesterday that
yes.
there was the Galileo moment.
Well,
now you have your Galileo moment.
I have not reheard the session, so I don't remember. I remember
no,
it being
no, 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 no. It's in your, what you call your news.
Oh, you sent me something.
Yes, we did send you something, but that's not the point. You should find it out for your own, or the thalamus won't allow you to know it, and it might blow your brain, and you can't have a brain, and then you'll have to move it somewhere else to see if it's okay for you to know this thing that you don't know, that you might know, because if we sent it to you and you know we sent it to you, then it might be. Well, if it is B, then it might have been. So if it's that might plus have been one, you could have known that it is, that it does, did. Maybe.
Right.
Sort
now, it was sent today. Yeah, there it is. Galileo moment. So this will show me something that observation telescopes, what's that guy, those guys called? NASA has noticed, or somebody like that, announced the first observation of gravitational waves.
Remember we talked about how gravity was going to change and how it was going to come out in the news once finally and for all that just now science was going to figure it all out, that there was these bubbles that bubbled within the time-space continuum, and that if you take a black hole and another black hole, black holes, that's right.
Yes,
you take
yes,
a black
yes,
hole and you do a hole, but not a hole, because you make a whole man if
no,
you're going to go another
hole.
Way.
No, a Yemeni hole. Zappa's saying
there
was a Yemeni hole.
Yes, well,
it's
now what happens,
that.
They find that there's a reverberation between those holes.
You did state vibrational reverberations a few days ago as a new term for free subatomic matter or below.
Now you have. Now they're proving this Galileo moment, the resting soul of Galileo, that indeed, once and for all, that these hiccups do bump into each other, which changes the whole construct of what you say time.
Are they saying that they prove there's gravity?
Yes.
So that was really good, and then the final statement. Okay, so I'm saying that I could get Scientific American magazine, I could get Nature magazine, wherever they report and tell me about science. If you want to be a little man and believe that there is death, then yeah, you can read and have your conundrums about we came from animals or apes.
Well, they're just macerations.
Butt.
They don't even definitively say that. You say the chances or probability that you came from a monkey's asshole are real good over a big, long span of time. And they've proved that you come out of a damn monkey's ass somewhere in the bounds of Nigeria somewhere. They proved that, Bob. That's proven. No question. They know that part.
So that's why I like not reading regular science. I'd rather talk to Ion, because I resonate with the assumptions that there is no death, and you're operating from that point, that idea, fact, reality, and then all these interesting things happen if you apply that there were no death, and that's why there's multiple worlds and everything that we talk about, right?
Sort of in the stead of an application.
In the stead. No, it is an application. I'm applying on what Ian's saying about eternity. Not
right.
In the stead.
Well, it would be in the stead of it, instead of the other alternative.
Yeah, in the stead of is different from instead of.
That's right.
Oh, I see. Okay. So MDMA, what is the chemistry that makes it do what it does?
It flips the dopamine the way the dopamine receptors process information. You remember the funnel?
You mean the wireless funnel?
It inverts that funnel, or the perception of it. It inverts it. What's up is down, it's down is up. And when you change that, that's all you have to change. It shifts. It becomes a, quote, kiss-kiss-a trip.
Does science even know that, what you just said?
No. They don't even know what they do. They play that song really quickly when they don't know what else to say, but yeah.
They make movies about heroes and that. Usually the hero is some guy walking around and he doesn't get sucked into the little man's mortar issues, but he saves them all the time. If you're a human being living here and you're Thoth-like, you're going to be looking at these idiots running around thinking they're worrying about killing each other, being killed, and thinking there's no death, and they're all suicidal. It seems to me that that crowd of mentality or attitude is always here. Yet today, they have fucking big grants, and they work for the FDA or the CDC, and they're studying chemistry and trying to find this and that, and probably even getting fucked up and causing things because they think they got to keep something going. I'm still dealing, me as the standard person, still dealing with idiots around me who thousands of years ago they believed in Mithra or something and fucked that up. That's the constant here, right? There's no evolution on that.
Then you get afraid of what you're doing even within the confines of your own business for something that might be caused that they might do if they decide to, which they already can do already anyway if they wanted to.
So, little man really gets seduced by new technological environments, new forms of communication. They think it's a new novelty, and they think they're going somewhere, but they're still going to end up fucked up dealing with little men running around screwing up whatever was going on. Just like they screwed up the Federal Reserve, they screwed up the economy, and they screwed up America. But it always was screwed up for little man. That's the point here.
All those words are true except for the dragon bomb.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to put up with it. The dragon is a relationship. With another place. Yes.
That's right.
Someone just told me, quoted some Chinese stuff, and they said the Chinese dragons. Apparently, they think the dragon is Chinese culture or something, but that's not what it is, correct? It's their designation for us.
Right. So that's the mountain designation for us.
Yeah, they get it backwards.
Well, no, they're talking about China is a country. We're talking about China as a mountain.
You mean it is actually a mountain, China?
No, the mountain, Bob, the mountain.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You're saying that the mountain ain't putting up with the little man anymore.
Right.
Well, that's, there it is. And you have said there are no more little people. You have said that, no more little man.
That's right.
And if they are here, they better start being one or they are going to be removed. So they're either been all removed or they're going to be removed. And for most ascending humans, it's not an issue, little man, anymore. We don't have to live
that. Which is why we've been a little crisper and sharper lately than normally would have been, other than the soft, sweet little love you, love you, love you,
right.
Love you, love you ion. And the point was, get on with it or get out. Get on with it, get happy, get right, get out, or go.
Because you're gone already if you don't get the message, if you don't start sending. You're
then
gone.
You'll be wondering, you'll start wondering how, what happened to your thalamus.
Now, what was interesting about this book is they described this soldier over in Iraq, in Fallujah. That it's so crazy. They're over there. They sit there to get picked off, and they don't even know which guy they can't trust or which shepherd walking by is going to blow them.
That's right.
Now, it's so absurd that anybody who looks at it is going to be disgusted. Now, the reason they're in Iraq, aside from the other thing, is I think JW used to say, and I don't know if you did, they had to have a reason to siphon off the little money that the government had, so they disguised it as a fucking going for a war, but they used it for other purposes. That's what happened.
Correct. That's
and,
correct.
And of course, they have these soldiers have no fucking support, no money, nothing. So even proven by the way they ran the war,
or the way they didn't run the war, actually.
They didn't. They were doing other things, which was like holding on the fort. Through 2000 after 9/11 to 2008, and it all fell apart anyways. It didn't work. The stopgap of the Bush Clinton oligarchic assholes.
Right.
It didn't work.
That's right.
So basically, these little kids that go over there and they're suicidal. It's ridiculous. You never should have gone over there. There's no country you're defending. It's absolutely the last war, the last ridiculous reason for war. And so we could say many people, especially ones that are ascending, are not even listening to that issue anymore because they've ruined the wars the last 30, 40 years so badly that no one's going to take it seriously, correct?
That's correct, and they don't.
And they don't. There are still kids or silly kids who are suicidal for whatever personal reasons who still want to go out there and have a war, but they're not even going to be provided that unless they become mercenaries and go over to Africa and run
around. Well, there's always a Benghazi, Bob, but the war now is coming back into mom and pop USA. It's right here in the streets. It's going to be in Joplin. It's going to be in San Bernardino. It's going to be, in your Oregon.
What, Ashland?
No.
Oregon. In Oregon. But you're saying your Oregon, is something particular there that you're referring to? Or?
We were going to say the new thing that went on in Oregon where they were trying to take over the federal lands.
Those guys.
That's even ridiculous.
Right. So the war comes home for little man, and that's pissing people off, and many little people see that, and they're saying, fucking fix it, and Hillary's not going to fix it, maybe Trump will. And that's part of the popularity? There's a panic response.
No, Trump's not saying he'll fix it. He says he'll destroy whoever caused it. That's all he's ever said.
And then they like that.
Destroying, and they like that because as bad and ridiculous as that is, at least they know that if worse come to shove, he'll always just file bankruptcy on the United States and nobody will have to pay back the hundreds of trillions of dollars that there's no way you could ever pay back anyway.
And the old guard keeps that debt going. Trump won't go for that debt.
Well, the old guard knows it's ridiculous, and that's why they're just kind of stepping aside because there's nothing they can do for it anyway.
Nobody's listening to them, and the debt's too big, so
it's too
they
big.
Recognize
no
it.
One,
solve it.
Not any of your politicians are talking about the debt. Nobody's talking about it. And they come up, and now they present a $4 trillion budget, not debt, a $4 trillion budget for this year alone.
Is Trump talking about the debt?
No, because there's nothing he can do about it. It's done. Fat lady singing.
But he says we will deal with it intelligently, what the effects of it are, in some sensible way or something.
Well, he hasn't said anything. He's just not addressing it because anything, if you address it, is death.
So he's not doing it, but he has an image that people think he'll do something about it.
Right.
Whatever comes up.
And that's just optics because what can he do? If he could do it, he'd already be done. He'd already be a god. He wouldn't be a presidential candidate.
If he could do it, you're talking about the debt?
Yes.
Okay, if anybody could have done that. Now, Carolyn just yelled out, he has been bankrupt so many times that he could handle bankruptcy.
He's filed bankruptcy 4 different times. He's never declared bankruptcy personally, but 4 companies that he's been affected with has filed bankruptcy 4 separate times.
Right. Okay, so... So I'm basically not interested in reading science and Scientific American. I'm interested in applying our stuff and blow them away because they won't be able to understand it, but our stuff will work and theirs doesn't.
What you become, which is what you've always wanted to be, all the way back to Reverend Stang and the whole mess, the holy orifices. Anyway, the holy orifices that you were trying to say were sacred were the ones that said, your world wins. Your world wins. And it doesn't matter why or what we think about it or if you like it or don't like it. It's just that's the way it goes. And now all of a sudden, and it's scaring you all of you to death, is that now for the very first time, lockdown Bob Rule could actually be.
Right. We're not interested in talking about McLuhan, LaRouche, Croker, Thompson, Beter. It's all fucking done. That's done. Now the victory parade march. That's
it is a victory parade, but then you have to come back and go, now we did want a victory. We want to take over the world. Well, no, just this part of the world for right now. And then we're going to take another little part of the world. And then, we got to take over the world. Okay, let's rethink this. We better see about this.
That's me.
And you know
that's
what I mean?
Me.
Well, that's the conversation. You got it. Now you want to know the directional, plausible ways to apply it. And that's coming, happening.
It's going to be solved. I've just got like a few more days at the bus station, so I just entertain the troops.
You're all good.
Before I
get
the hell out of there.
You and Bob Hope have got it all worked out. You got to get you a Marilyn Monroe, though, shaped like a Coke bottle to help you out for the hard parts.
Oh, that would be good. All right, so now we go to this topic. I have down Ophanil in Egypt, but I'm not saying it's part of this. Might be. Now, here it comes. I'm going to bring up the Temple of Man. What are you laughing at, Carol? No, we've got other important issues came up, hot off the wire, other stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Galileo moment, but that was just a sidebar, huh, Bob?
I forgot about the Galileo moment. Okay, let me bring that back up. Now, where is it? There it is. They say we don't know how to define electricity. Did the same thing apply to gravity over the last 200 years? We didn't know how to define gravity?
They're still talking about it. They just say that this force is a thing. They don't know what causes it or what pulls it, or is it magnetic or is it a polar inception? Remember we did the long thing about pushing and pulling the cat
right.
for gravitational pull or force?
Yeah.
And we went through the whole thing, and we explained it to you, and trying to explain it to you to convince you, you were like ready to blow your brains out. And we were giving you what tactile methodology said it was. We were telling you what they said it was. So that is pretty extreme, even on for our side. So, yes, they describe what gravity does. They describe how gravity applies, but they don't know what causes gravity.
Is the gravitational waves, the observation of it that's just happened, moving them towards that? They think they're making progress, and they're going to be able to say what you just said, see it or do it or name it?
Yes, yes. This is the first time they've ever proved it. Ripples in space-time.
That's major. But, of course, they got it fucking backwards. They're just seeing the eye cell or the eye cell's effect. Basically, that's what's happening.
Yeah, but don't promote that that way. Don't promote that way.
No.
No, they don't understand that.
Right.
The only thing they don't understand is an abomination before God. See,
yes,
they don't understand
right.
it. So basically, if you're talking about ripples in the curvature of space-time, which propagate a wave, okay, that gives you a gravitational wave, transport energy, as a gravitational radiation. And if you can have that, then you can say that time is an emotion, that time is a feeling, that time is a time flies when you're having fun, a glib, cliched archetype. You can say all these fun things, and once you start having the wave, it doesn't apply to time. And when it doesn't apply to time, then time on Earth shall be no more.
I thought you were leading along that they were trying to prove time, but then you flipped it.
This proves there is no time.
Do they know that? No,
yes.
They don't know that.
Yes,
do
yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Oh, within their assumptions and rules, this contradicts if they didn't believe that. And now they know, yes, there is no time. It's, within their terms, it's been proven, is what you're saying.
And now Stephen Hawking thinks that he was right because he listened to what you said on your Fade Day show, and now he agrees that it was right, and now they have found the proof and then the pudding that will allow everyone to know that he said something was said that he said that was probably from the Quaker Quadrant anyway that will apply to this knowing as you apply it to your vicissitudes, which can be aligned with all that you have figured or calculated so far.
But they'll still fuck it up. Okay, they've proven time, but it's just an abstract idea. Can they actually start to live it and deal with the implications of it? No.
They won't, but they'll milk it so it gives you great leeway.
Yeah, we can do it. We can use it, but they wouldn't take it as far as we take it.
And this allows Galileo's point to cause the ellipse. When he was able to draw the ellipse in the sand, it actually is your Galileo moment.
He's getting confirmed.
Yes.
Validated. But he has discussed it since he's here and eternal. He's discussed it with the way the little man's going to fuck with it.
Well, pretty much.
And he never required to be validated.
No, he didn't. He was just trying to keep his head from getting chopped off by the queen.
He was surrounded by the little people.
Yeah, well, basically.
And, you know, Thoth in the Emerald Tablets warns people, as you're ascending, watch out. Little dark brothers can fuck with you before you get ascended.
If you're not careful, yes.
Yeah, but you don't want to be too paranoid.
Well, no, there's a difference between paranoia and a healthy regard. You see?
Right.
Just do it that way.
Yes, caution. Now, something dramatic has happened. They've never thought they'd ever fucking prove it. Now they've validated some part of their system, and it's a big day. That's because I see gravity as obsolete because ion and non-physical is walking among us and creating. Therefore, the old issues of old nature have become bigger.
That's right.
And
now,
gone.
Listen, Bob. Wait, Bob. You have a world. Okay? You have a world. You have a world that says something. And the world says something. You're saying a completely different thing. And day after day after day, that other world comes up with crap on the looky box that says your way was the right way. Time and time and time again. You go back to look at all the crazy things that you've said that now are, it's pretty astounding. It's pretty astounding. If you look at all the things that you said that were not, that you said that were, and now that are, irrefutably.
Awesome. That's great. I'm going to be the guy who was actually the Guinness Book of Records. Who was correct the most times? Bob.
Well, we don't want that. We want Bob to be the who was the happiest the most times. Yes.
Okay. Good point. Yes. Yes. It was just a side effect. A front, a dummy front that he was being right. That basically he was being happy.
All right. So a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, Bob. Deutsche Bank got a little bit upside down. They got a little bit upside down. Credit Suisse doesn't know what they're going to do. USB is in awful trouble with the Northern Trust. Barclays has nothing to bail it out. Mr. Yeltsin, Mr. Geithner's buddy, who's now fixing to go collect up all his money checks for when he bailed out, too big to fail. Now, when the European bankers fall, who is going to be their savior, Bob?
It will probably be, in some way.
Well, yeah, it may take you and most of the Knights Templars to pull this one, Bob, because how many of these nasty Americanos run over there and put their money checks over in them banks, and then them banks goes belly up, and it's like, boom.
Are you asking rhetorically who's going to save them? Nobody's going to save them, or are you saying somebody will save them?
No, your words are nobody's going to save them, and you are correct, Bob.
Right.
Once again, lockdown Bob rule, you are correct. So therefore, those banking fiduciaries and institutions have a long-reaching arm, okay? And that long-reaching arm is going to be cut off. So all these things that are powerful and they're more powerful than you, which there's nothing more powerful than you, but they present the image that they are more powerful than you, all of a sudden go away.
I see that. So you have today the headline of the Drudge Report, Gold Rush as Stocks, Bonds Plunge. What you're just describing, that's one of the effects on Wall Street?
Yes, that's an effect.
Yeah. So the storm, the perfect storm is starting in the last few weeks or months, correct? We're into the perfect storm that...
Yeah, becoming.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the market fall.
That is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying the market will fall. Okay. The Temple of Man. There's a book by... R.A. Schwaller Dulibich, L-U-B-I-C-Z. He's an Egyptologist known for his 12-year study of the art and architecture of the Temple of Luxor in Egypt and his subsequent book, The Temple in Man. They say he challenged the rules of Egyptology, the assumptions. Was he anywhere near accurate? Is he worth studying?
No.
He's different.
The Luxor, okay, but it's real simple. It's all it is, just as Carolyn said. It's just saying that every part is. If you carve a stone ear, you're an ear. It's a layer of occultism that allows the statuary to become the archetype. So if they build a certain sketch that says this is or is not, then it only gives the Luxor's version of what the world is.
What I was told is that he discovered that the body parts were in the floor plan of all these temples, especially the Temple of Luxor. And then it's a macrocosm, microcosm, and it reflects the cosmos. Is there something significant in knowing that the body is represented in the temple architecture. How would that be significant for the ascending person?
The better work is the Le Miracle Egyptien.
That's a book?
Mm-hmm. That's his book.
Oh, it's his book. Another one of his books.
Yeah. And okay. It's better than this one.
Okay. So, Bakun said his big insight that all technologies came from our bodies. Etymologically, where did inventions come from? They came from our bodies. Now, Ian would agree that the human voice created these things. So if you call it the voice, it somehow looks like our anthropomorphic form, then all technology came from us. That is an idea that the ascending person understands. He knows that everything comes from us. And he may not agree that it looks like a human body as we see the human body, but it comes from our word power. If that's the point of Lubitsch, no, if that's the point
Rene,
of McLuhan.
You mean Rene?
Yeah, Rene Lubitsch. If that's the point of McLuhan, then that's a good point to begin with. He's reminding all the little men, hey, you forgot that everything comes from you. That's a useful beginning point to correct the little man who's trying to become ascended, the ones who want to. To look at the temples, and they have this mapping of the body, were they meaning what McLuhan and Ion said, or were they lost in images narcissistically about what the cosmos mirrored back to them?
Well, you're going to have to get back to Rosicrucianism if you keep going.
So it's a thought system about what might be interpreted as, yes, the body is where the temples come from, and your body is a temple because the book's called The Temple in Man. But if you already understand that, you don't need the symbolism of temples to remind you.
Right.
It's just a breadcrumb.
And that's what the Byzantine Basilica proves.
Yes, that they prove
it falls. It falls. The temples fall, and yet you still are.
Is there something about what Roxy's trying to find? She's trying to find a great significance in the fact that the cosmos is mirrored in the temple floor plan, or the body is mirrored there. What is the message that one could glean from that that I have not covered? Is there something special there?
No. What you should be focused on is the destruction of the temple.
Why it's not eternal?
Yes.
Yeah, why it doesn't have that strength. Why is it so vulnerable? If its design, its cosmetics look so powerful, how come it's not standing strong? That's your point there. Right.
Yeah.
The knowledge, the imagery in the temple floor plan didn't save the temple.
Right.
Is there an architecture or a temple that is saying something really special that is relevant to being reminded? What's a major, the 10 greatest breadcrumbs in the world? You know, the old 10 wonders in the world, 8 wonders, 7 wonders. What would be some of the 10 greatest breadcrumbs? Definitely Solomon's Temple, correct? Solomon's Temple would be one
yes.
of them. Anything
yes.
better or equal to the Solomon's Temple?
Yes, but we can't lay it out right now.
Okay, so we have talked about in that TV show, Warehouse 13, in their intro of images, there was a painting that showed the way to Shangri-La. I remember you pointing that out. So the Shangri-La is one of the great breadcrumbs of the world?
Yes.
And there are others. So Solomon's Temple is the only one we know of that is not so shrouded in secrecy
mm-hmm.
that qualifies as a great breadcrumb, correct?
Yes.
That's the one that we can work with. But none of these breadcrumbs are equal to the fact that us, people, the ascended person is bigger than Jupiter, bigger than the galaxies, can eat them all, and has no problem with radiation. That's the more important fact.
Right.
That has never been spelled out so clearly as we're doing, as you're doing. It's the
correct.
First time it's been said.
So far.
Where it might be implied in secret yogic sex or mystical sex or ayahuasca sex. Some cultures might get close to that. But they do not talk about it. They keep it secret. You got to go through an initiation. We're telling you without initiating you, correct? That's
right.
What's new.
That's right. You're laying
so that's
it out.
A defin-
you're laying it,
that's
you're
a
laying
definite-
it out.
And that's the definition of apocalypse, is revelation. So we are the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Our information, our show.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is slowly, quickly realizing it.
The world is becoming a stage, Bob, if Marshall McLuhan was right.
Wasn't it a stage already?
No. It's becoming a stage. It's but a stage, so it's becoming.
Do you have to be ascended to be able to walk around on the stage to perform?
Well, you have to be ascended until you start throwing tomatoes.
If you start throwing tomatoes, you got to be ascended, is what you just said.
You better be ascended, otherwise you're going to get smoked.
Can you get on stage, strut around as an ascended person, throw tomatoes at the little man, if there's any there, and survive that? Yes, if you're ascended, you could.
If you're ascended, you could.
But you're saying that the little man's going to throw stuff at you if you're going to walk around the stage. You better have your shit together if you're going to enter the stage today.
Basically, yes.
And we have our shit together so that we can do it.
You're getting it together. You're doing great.
All right. So I don't. So we learned that Hathor is just milk. The temple of man. Well, okay. So the temple, just to add some anthropologically or architectural history, is the temple of Luxor beautiful, or is there more other temples that one can go to in the tourist trade that are better than the temple of Luxor? That have more breadcrumb approximation.
Most of them.
Most of the ones that people go to. Okay, the 12 castles, King Frank and Leonardo and them, they put in Egyptian imagery. Why were they doing that? Just to be mysterious? Because they could?
Yes. Yes.
All right, so we're more important than any event. So humanity is just becoming right now. With our products, we're just becoming. We haven't been humanity up to this point.
Right, you're becoming.
I think that's a good point to end on. It's getting so good that I didn't even know if we need another session. But we'll show up. We'll keep going. And maybe
there you go. Keep plowing. It always gets fun, Bob.
There's always new surprises of what can
happen. You make it.
All right. So, very good day. We've come to good solutions to things today. Okay, thanks a lot, Ion.
Yes, indeed. Enjoy your evening.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.